in on Colossians 3. You got our outlines out so we can follow along. I want to share something with you. Alistair Begg, he wrote this. He said this one time. Listen to what he said. He said, it's hard to imagine anyone suiting up for a football game without an awareness of the sometimes bloody struggle that is about to ensue. Can you imagine somebody go out in a football game and not know what the heck is going to happen in a football game? Put on a helmet, put some pads, walk out in the middle of the field and say, hey, what's this game about, man? What do we do here, right? Can you imagine that ever happening? Not really kind of knowing what ensues when you play football. That's, you know, some hard things ensue. But he said this. He said, I have yet not to see a player remove his helmet and head for the stadium exit because he finds it all just a little bit too rough. He said, I've never seen that. Never somebody go out there and say, well, I didn't know what the game was about and all that. And, well, this is a little too rough. I'm going to get it off. Yet when it comes to Christian living, the field is evacuating quickly. That's what we're digging into is the game plan, the rules. God's word, especially the epistles of the Apostle Paul, lay out in detail the game plan for living the Christian life and how it all comes about, all of that. It's not hidden. If someone was to come and ask you, they came up to you and said, hey, what is a Christian life? Couldn't you easily, from God's word, describe what the Christian life is? You could describe it from your relationship with Christ and how you're walking it and what's going on in life, but you could go to the Word of God, easily describe what the Christian life is. It's in the Word of God. It's not complicated. It's just really, really hard. Amen? But it's not complicated. It's all there. It's challenging, but it's pretty clear what it is. The Apostle Paul, through this section of Scripture, as what we're looking on here, tells us in simple terms what it is to live the Christian life. That's what we're digging into. This is what we're to know and understand and believe and trust. This is what it is. Put it this way. If you're arguing with me, and as we go through the Word of God, say it's not it, you need to really talk to the Lord about what it is. Because this is it. This is the way it is. Now, what he goes through, he doesn't give all the detail, but certainly the big scheme of things as we look at it. In this passage, living the Christian life, and this is the outline for all of the messages, living the life the Christian life is a resurrected life. We looked at that last week a lot. A new life in Christ, the new life from God that he had gave us to us in our salvation. The next thing that we'll look at next week is we're going to finish that up today. It's a life of putting sin to death. That's the Christian life. We're to deny ourselves, take up the cross, follow him. It's a life that we put sin to death in our life. We consider it dead. We put it to death. We don't want it in our life. We say, oh, I'm not going to do that. All of that kind of thing. We're going to get into that. It's a life of wearing who you are in Christ. You got to put it on. You got to wear it. You got to own it. Okay? You got to own your identity and what God did in your salvation. You got to wear it. That's like if you're a Niner fan and you wear a Raider uniform. That doesn't work, does it? Right? You got to own it. I am an Arizona Cardinal fan. I own it. Gaboos, yeah. How can you not like the Arizona Cardinals? Nobody dislikes them, right? But if you're a Yankee fan, you got to wear your Yankee hat, right? You got to own it, right? Right? You can't. That's what we're going to look at in the following message. And then the last one we're going to look at is this life that we've been given, that we wear, that we have, comes with new relationships, a relationship with God, with each other, with our families, with the lost, with each other, and we have a new way of speaking, and that's what we'll end up at the end of all of this. See, it's a life that's nothing like the life of the lost. It's nothing like the life of the world. It's not like our old life. It's not like a life of the unsaved. It's a life given to us in our salvation. Top of your outline, let's look at that with me here. I kept that quote that I put in last week because we're just going to review a little bit and we'll dig into what we're going to talk about today. R.C. Sproul said it this way, Christianity is essentially a life to be lived. It's our whole life to be lived. It is our life to be lived. We do not segment our lives, giving some time to God, some to our business or schooling while keeping parts to ourselves. The idea is to give all of our lives in the presence of God, under the authority of God, for the honor and glory of God. That is the life to be lived. It's our identity. That's who we are. Right? That's who I am in Christ. I'm a Christian. By the power of God, God changed me, transformed me, gave me new life. It's not addition. We looked at that a lot last week. It's not coming and believing in Christ and trusting in him, and you have this life now, and now you believe in him, and you get to go to heaven, but now I put all this addition of Christian values, Christian care, Christian things onto this life. God said, no, 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 no. In Christ, new creation, new life. live it. There's ways to live, character to live, things to do, but you're not adding to your life. It's new. Deny that one. Let that one go. And that's so important in our lives. Because Christ didn't come so he could add and die on a cross and give his life so he could be an addition to our life. He came so he could be our life, the life of God in Christ given to us. And so that's so powerful, that's so impactful that we looked at a lot last week and dug into all of that. The Christian life is a new life, a resurrected life. You've been given in your salvation. It's not a way of life added. The Apostle Paul began to emphasize all of this in chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Let's read our text again this morning and continue on with the idea of what God is saying here and growing and understanding his word. Here the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ," there it is, since you have the resurrected life, that's what he's looking at. He says this, "Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory." And we began to unpack that risen life, that resurrected life, that life that you have when you're raised up with Christ, that's the life that you have now. It's the life brought to you or bought for you in Christ by the power of God. You've been made alive in Christ Jesus, given the salvation. Like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you're a new creation, a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come by the power of God. Or Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says that you are to lay aside the old self. And in your heart and mind, you need to renew it. You need to accept it. You need to understand it, that that's not you anymore. That's the old self. God laid it aside in your salvation. You and your heart and mind, in all of who you are, you need to lay it aside. That's what Ephesians 4:22 through 24 is talking about. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have a transformed life in Christ. God created it in your salvation, he says, and you are to put it on. Meaning you're to live it. That's the idea. When we put on the new life that we have in Christ, you already have it because you're in Christ. You already have it by the power of God changing you, transforming you, giving it to you. Our part is to wear who we are, take off who you used to be. Let's put it that way. And that's what we looked at a lot last week. The new life, the new self, the Christian life has responsibilities. We dug into that somewhat last week too. Your identity, you have responsibilities for who you are in Christ, your new life. Each of us does. Just like we looked at all the things that we do in life, and we have responsibilities as parents and grandparents and people at work. But here as a Christian, your identity being a believer in Christ and a born-again Christian with a new life in Christ, it comes with responsibilities. Paul put them down in a very big picture, verse 1 and 2. Here they are again. Look at them with me. He said this, "Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God and set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth." Two present active imperatives, continuous action that we do in our life as now we are as Christians, things that God commanded us to do. They're commands of God. This is what we do. This is what they are. Very simple, kind of big picture. Like I said, one, you're to keep seeking things above. And in the outline there, it says keep seeking eternal perspectives. That's what it's about. The life that we seek, the life that we live, we continually seek God's forever perspective on all kinds of things, all through our lives. We continue to seek his work in our lives. We can continue to seek to proclaim the eternal perspectives of heaven and hell, the good news of the gospel. We continually seek how God's truth, his word, his ways shape our lives, the perspective of him, the truth of him, how the eternal, the end of all this shapes how we live today and how we're going to live tomorrow, all of that. We looked at that in detail, and I can't preach all of that again, or I'll preach part one again. But we need to pick it all up here, and so we get the depth of what he's talking about here. And also last week, we began to look at the second part of our responsibility. One, we continue to seek eternal perspectives. Two, we set our mind on things above. We set our mind on eternal realities. And we began to look at that. And the important thing here for us to grab, mind here isn't just your thinking. It's not walking around in life, okay, I'm just thinking about eternal realities all the time. I'm just too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. That's not what he's talking about here. It's not like, one day it's all done. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about mind here. The word in the original language carries the idea of your heart, your thoughts, your passions, the whole of you. It's like this. You're to set your heart, your mind, the whole of you on God's eternal realities. The priority is God's interests. Now, let me stop there for a moment, because we got a million interests, don't we? I mean, we're trying to get out through college, right? We'll be trying to get in college pretty soon, right? We're trying to raise our families, right? We're trying to love our husband. We got all these things we're thinking about, right? We're thinking about where we're going to go, what we're going to do. Who knows right now where you're going to lunch? Some of you are thinking about it, aren't you? We think, right? And so he's not saying, okay, you can only think about eternal realities. We have things we got to think about. The priority of your life is that your mind, your heart, your passions, your life is set as a constant in your life, God's interests that are eternal in everything I do. Whether you're a wife, whether you're going to college or trying to get into college, I'm thinking of God's interest. And that's what he's doing. That's what Christians are. That's Christianity. So we're seeking eternal perspectives on everything, what God's doing in our life, what he's doing in the world, those kind of things as we live our life. What does God want me to do as a husband to my wife? What's the eternal perspective of how I live? And the eternal reality, my priority of my thoughts, my heart, my mind are on those. That's Christianity. That's what Christians do. This is what God says they do. This is how they live. Now, wherever you're at in that, whatever you're doing in that, we're good, bad, indifferent, up and down, all that kind of stuff, God knows that. We're on a journey with him. But we understand what the responsibility is from the Word of God. It's whether we do it or not, right? That's always the crux, right? That's always the challenge in our life. That's what it is are we going to do this that God has? And we're all in that journey there at different places. But the Apostle Paul is talking about this. It's like what Pastor Craig read in Philippians 4:8. The idea here is, as a priority, what our minds are set on, what our passions are, in the sense of what our being is finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's anything excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, the word dwell on these things is in the priority. They take up space in my thinking as a priority. That's tremendous for our lives, that these are, you know, we can dwell on what the heck is going to happen to the country. We can dwell on all the things that are going on. We can let our minds be, whatever news channel you watch, be just consumed with all of that stuff, right? Not that you can't watch one or a bunch, but they can't be consumed by it. They're to be consumed by what God says to be consumed by as a priority. That makes sense, you guys? It's like Romans 8:4 and 6. It says this. I like what the Apostle Paul wrote here and what we're talking about here. And all I'm talking about is setting your mind on eternal realities. He wrote this in Romans 8:4. He starts with this. He says, "Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now, if you're going to walk according to the flesh, your mind's set on the flesh, isn't it? It's like what the Word of God says. If my mind is set on the Spirit of God, he's the author of Scripture, he's the illuminator of Scripture, he dwells within me, and he speaks to me about the things of God, and the Word of God helps me understand the truth, guide and lead my life. If I walk by the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, guiding and leading my life, right? That's the way we are. He does that here and here and here. He does that in your being. And he says, we don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh, now when he says that, those who are according to the flesh, that's lost, that don't have the salvation. He says this, set their mind on things of the flesh. That's what it is. Their mind is infatuated with the things of the flesh. That's what they are. But those who are according to the Spirit, that's salvation, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Those that have a resurrected life. See, you have the ability to set your mind, your being, who you are, your heart, your thoughts, your whole of you. You have the ability in Christ, in your salvation, to set that on God's word, God's truth, God's leading of the Holy Spirit. The lost don't. They just set it on the flesh, period, zip, that's it, until salvation. But we have the ability. So for the mindset on the flesh is death. Did you hear that? It doesn't say his happiness, his contentment, his fun, his, you know, sin is momentarily pleasing for a second. But the mind, the passions, the thoughts, the heart set on it is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. See, so this is what we do as believers in Christ. We're setting our mind on eternal realities, on what is real in this life, what God says is. We think about other things. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, we think about other things. But again, you see the idea. Why don't you turn your Bible? Can I ask you to turn your Bible? Why don't you turn your Bibles? Go ahead and turn your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse, I think, 14. I just wanted to show you this because this is really life. The Christian living is Christian life, is our life. And what God's Word says here, very generally what he's saying, you know, we definitely want to keep seeking eternal perspectives in this life. We did that when we came to salvation. The first eternal perspective I saw it was heaven and hell. Where was I going to be? God showed me the truth and said, Ken, who you are? Without salvation in Jesus Christ, it's hell. And with salvation, it's heaven. That's eternal perspective. You have to trust and believe and put your faith in him. And life continues on like that. That's what I continually seek, those things, and I want my mind on what God wants my mind on. And the eternal reality. So we're looking here at 2 Corinthians 4. Look at it with me. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. And I just want you to get the idea of what we're talking about here. Verse 14 begins with this. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus. Now knowing there. Let me just ask you. Is that your mind? Do you know? Do you know that God raised the Lord Jesus Christ? God the Father did? Do you know that? Do you know it in your mind? Do you know it in your heart? Do you know it in your being? That's what we're talking about. That's setting my personhood. I know this to be true. My mind is on those things. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Is that an eternal reality? Come on, help me. Is that eternal reality? I know that the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will raise me up with Christ and will present me with you when we're all there. You know that to be true? Is that in your heart and mind? Is that your mind? Is that your passion? Is that your thoughts in this day? I don't care what happens in this world. You know, one day we're going to be raised up with you. We're all going to be there. That's an eternal reality. My mind realizes that every day. That's what he's talking about. You see what he said? This is Christians. This is what we are. This is who we are. This is what it is. And there's so many through the Word of God, but that's an eternal reality. Look at verse 15. For all things are for you, or your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks abound to the glory of God. Is that an eternal reality? That whatever is happening in my life for my sake and what God is doing is so the grace of God will be spreading to more and more people and causing more and more people to give thanks for the glory of God. That's the eternal reality. That's what he's doing in our life. Whatever happens here, whatever goes on here, whatever blows up or doesn't blow up, whatever, that's an eternal reality. Hard things, good things, beneficial things, positive things, struggling things, God is doing that, causing the giving of glory to be to him. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Let me ask you, is that an eternal perspective that we need to have in our life? How many of you are decaying more and more every day? How many of us are really suffering from the decay? Every single day, this guy in me, this new man in me, this new self, that God created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to this new life, new every day. It will never decay. Never. Never grow old. Never grow tired. Never grow weary. Never. This thing's growing weary sometimes, right? And then, but because of the new man in it, it can. Is that an eternal perspective? Is your mind on that? That's what we set our mind on. Even though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. I don't like the outer man decaying. I know you don't like him decaying. I don't like those kind of things and all of that. But the eternal perspective here is important for us to keep as a priority of what we think. Verse 17, for momentary light affliction. All of that affliction, that hard stuff is momentary, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, is that an eternal perspective? Whatever hard thing's going on here and you're standing for the Lord, whatever hard thing's going on here and you're standing for the Lord, you're being faithful to the Lord, whatever that is, journey with Him, is producing for you an eternal weight of glory. See that word weight? In the original language, that means mass. It's not a thought of weight of glory. It's not shining light on you. You're going to pick it up one day and it's going to be mass and it's going to be forever. It's an eternal weight of glory that God gives you for living for Him here while you suffer in your outer man decaying, living for Him, being renewed day by day. Weight of glory in eternity. Mass, tangible, physical, that you can hold. That's the eternal reality. That affects my life. How about yours? You see what he's talking about, where our minds are set? Oh, so many things in this life, so many things to think about beyond and to be on in all great things and all that, but there is an eternal perspective and eternal reality that really we seek and take up our thoughts in a lot of things. Verse 18 says it this way, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I don't see that weight of glory right now. I know it to be true. It's an eternal reality. I don't know, but there are so many things that God is doing in eternity. I see this life, you know, this stuff. My focus isn't that. You see what he's talking about, right? Let me just continue on with this. Turn your Bibles to Philippians 3. As I went through this and worked on this and just the things in my heart, you know, so let's look at this, setting our mind on things above and seeking continuously things above, seeking continuously eternal perspectives and setting our minds continuously on eternal realities. How's this look in a life? There's a great example in Philippians 3. Look at it with me. So let's just get real practical, look at the life of Paul. Here's an example from the Apostle Paul's life on a heart and mind set on eternal realities. Look at verse 7 with me. We'll begin there. And just in the Word of God, here we have God laying out for us. So we see just the life, the Christian life, living the Christian life with these responsibilities, big picture. Here it is, verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things have counted for loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things in loss in the view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them all but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. I just see that as the eternal perspective as he's just sharing. He's recognizing in this world all that he had, all that he worked for, all that prestige and power and recognition and fame and all that he had. He just saw, you know what, that's just doesn't have any value compared to knowing Christ, to living for Christ. And I just don't let those things overwhelm me, because the surpassing value in my life is to have a relationship with Christ, to know Him, to seek Him, to represent Him. You see that on all that. That's just such an eternal perspective. And look at verse 9. He says this, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. You know, it wasn't about my righteousness, yours. It's not about us being good enough or not good enough. It's about you got the righteousness of Christ in your salvation. You see what he's talking about, the eternal perspective. This isn't about now you live good as a Christian and there's going to be some righteousness that God credited to you that said you're righteous. No, you wear the righteousness of Christ. You'll never be righteous apart from his, because you're only imputed his, and that's the only way you do anything right. We understand those truths. This is what he's saying. Number 2, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's another eternal perspective. That's what's going on in our lives. We want to know the Lord. We want to know the power of his resurrection in my life, the fellowship, the shared life of what it looks like to suffer for the Lord, being conformed to his death, to die to sin. Look at verse 11. In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know what that says? That outcome to attain is living the perfect resurrected life, the complete resurrected life. He says, I just want to keep going on in this life and living for the Lord and growing and you know, as we journey with the Lord and he works on all through our lives, so I may attain at the end of all of this the perfect, complete, resurrected life that I already have in Christ, that I will live it. I want to attain it. That's what he's talking about. Now look at verse 12 and 4, through 14. Not that I have already obtained it. He hadn't made it yet. None of us have made it yet. I have the Christian life. I have the resurrected life. But in this life, I'm living for the Lord. God's at work in my life. I'm seeking the eternal things. I'm thinking on them. And one day, I'm going to attain that perfect resurrected life. But I haven't attained it already. Or I haven't become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which also laid hold of me, or laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's the upward call? That you will live a conformed life to the image of Christ, that you will have lived the mature, complete, perfect, resurrected life that God gave you at your salvation, that you would live it. That's the upward call. Now, isn't this encouraging? Because he didn't obtain it, and he hadn't laid hold of it yet. And he's the Apostle Paul. Isn't that encouraging? But you can see what we're seeking and what we're thinking about. We're journeying toward that. This is so encouraging, what we're talking about. Sometimes I go better that way. Sometimes I don't go really good that way. How about you? Come on, you smile at me. Isn't this good? This is really good what he's talking about. He's talking about living the Christian life. He's put it in a big picture, laying it out there for us. Like I said, if you argue with this, then you need to dig into the Word of God and talk to God about it. This is it. This is all backed up in the whole counsel of God's word. This is what it is. This is it. This is why we're looking at it. It's the idea that he wants us to live this. It's a Christ-centered, Christ-focused mind and heart, isn't it? Seeking the glory of God as we live for Christ. You've heard that before, but that's what it is. Turn your Bibles back to Colossians 3. That's why it says that in verse 2. That's why it says that in verse 2, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's the resource for us all. It's point C in your outline. There's the resource. Christ seated at the right hand of God. We are to keep seeking the Lord's eternal perspective, and we're to set our mind on the Lord's eternal realities. He's the resource. He's the one that walks us there. It's a relationship with Christ. It won't be anything else. It won't be any other thing as a Christian and what it is. This is what it is. He walks us there. Hebrews 12:2 says, keep your eyes fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is the author. That is origin of our faith. He's the origin of it. In God's creative order, Jesus is the origin of us having faith in Christ, faith in God to have the salvation. He's the origin of it. He will guide us, empower us by the Spirit of God to the completion of our faith because he's the finisher. It's all Christ. Everything is Christ. It's our focus on him. It's our focus, Christ-centered, Christ-focused life. Like we read this morning, Colossians 2, in him are all the treasures and wisdom of knowledge. This is just true. This is what it is. We are to walk by a Spirit of God as we walk with Christ, fixed on him, the resource. Colossians 3:15 says this. I like what this says. This helps us. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. I want you to think about your life. Let the peace of Christ, the peace of Christ. I have peace with God because I've trusted in Christ. I am reconciled with God. The peace of Christ. Christ, nothing can take salvation out of my hand. I am saved. I am forgiven. That peace of Christ, let it rule my heart. That's what it says in this life. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart. We all understand some things that rule our heart. Difficult things, challenging things, hard things, money, finances, health, all those things. They're all real. I'm not saying they're not real, but the peace of Christ needs to rule our heart. That's what we have our mind on. That's what we seek, is Christ and Christ alone. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within us. The Bible is the word of Christ. Why he came, what he did, who he is. The more you dig into the Bible, well, the more you understand why he came, who he is, what he did. That's the word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, right here in the Bible, we have the mind of Christ. We have what Christ thinks on everything, or believes on everything that he wanted to tell us. He didn't tell us if In-N-Out Burger is the best burger on the planet. Although he probably should have wrote it down, right? Not everybody agrees with us. Do you know that? Christian living is that In-N-Out Burger is the best burger on the planet. I should have put that in the outline, right? No, I'm just teasing. You see what I'm talking about, though, right? This is God's word. It's very practical. It's very big here. I'm talking about it in that. But this is life. This is what it is. The enemy sends deception. The enemy's deception comes in, throws a bunch of things that life is. Life is life. God says life is. This is what it is. We're to let the peace of Christ rule our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell within us. The word of God is the mind of Christ. How Jesus sees and thinks on everything. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, as we gaze at the glory of the Lord. I want you to look at me here. As we gaze at the glory of the Lord. Where do we see the glory of God? Where do we see the glory of Christ? Where do we see it? Where do we see it most? Where do we see it exactly? Where do we see it? Right here, right? Word of God, right? Right? That's what he's talking about. When you gaze at the glory of the Lord, when you see God, the character and nature of Christ and God in and through the Word of God, when you gaze at that and apply it to your life, this is what the Word of God says. You are being transformed into the same image. Transformed. That's God's Word. By the power of God, power of Spirit, transformed. He's talking about the way you live because you've already been transformed with the resurrected life. He's talking about, I transform how you live, character, nature, on how you act with your new life. When you gaze at the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, when you apply it to your life, we are being, by the power of God, transformed into the same image. You start having the character and nature and actions of Christ by God's power. He transforms the way we live to the very image of Christ. That's what God is doing. That's the resource to live the Christian life. It's Christ-centered, Christ-focused living. Look at your outline. What's the reason? Why is it Christ-centered? Why is it Christ-focused? Why is that the reason? Paul gives us the reason. Look at verse 3. Look what he says. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Can there be anything any more clear than that? You died. You died to sin, you died to self, you died to the old life, you died to the world's way, you died. God killed you in your salvation. He died. He put off your old self, gave you new. This flesh won't go to heaven with me. It's going to stay here. It doesn't belong. It's unredeemed flesh. It's no longer who I am. It died. It's a resurrected life by divine power. Galatians 6:14 says it this way, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Let me say this. It doesn't seem like that, does it? Does it feel like that? Come on, you guys, help me. Does it feel that way sometimes? Does it seem that way? Like, wow, I am a soul alive to the world and the stuff and flesh. Am I the only one here? You guys are all holy and righteous, real close to completion, okay? That's what it is, right? This is, I want us to get this. The reality of what we're living in and what it is what it is. And we're battling, we're being challenged, we're having to deal with ourselves, we're having to work in our life. It's a journey with God. I am nowhere near the image of Christ. But I've died and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. My flesh is unredeemed. It's going to battle. But the truth is I'm a new man, a new self, and I've died. And my life is hidden. A resurrected life is hidden with Christ in God. Nothing of this world can take it or change it. Nothing. Nothing in this created world can change that. Because my life is hidden with Christ in God. God did it. Hidden means they're protected with Christ in God. For that reason, I died to self and my life is hidden with God. I'm going to be Christ-focused. Because Christ did it. My works, my effort, my thing didn't do it. Christ did it. Amen? The reason why I seek and I think and I set my mind on Christ and Christ alone is because in Christ I died to self. I died to sin. I died to being what I used to be and was raised to new life. And that new life is hidden with Christ in God. And nothing in the creation ever can change that, even God. Because he declared it to be so. What an eternal perspective, what an eternal reality. We're going to have to live through this life, I get it. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely amazing. It's incredible. It's almost, if you think about what we're talking about today, and capture what we're talking about today, it's staggering to think about what we're thinking about and talking about what we're talking about. This is our life. If you have the resurrected life, this is your life. Let's look at the last point. Here's the revelation. Look at verse 4, Colossians 3, 4. I had a bunch more there, but you don't need me to talk more about that. So we're to continually seek things above, can seek eternal reality, eternal perspectives, or to set our mind on eternal realities. The resource is Christ, the truth of Christ, who he is, why he came, what he did, or to let the peace of Christ rule our life, all of the things that we could dig into, all of that, but it's a Christ-focused, Christ-centered life. The reason is because in Christ, all things have been reconciled back to God. You can't take it away. It's saved, and I died because of what to the old life with what Christ did. Here's the revelation. Look at it, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Simple question for you guys. Who is our life? Who is our life? Who's our life? That's the Christian life. Who's our life? Christ. He is our life. The peace of Christ, the word of Christ, the way of Christ, the truth of Christ, the life of Christ, it's the life of us. That's what it is. And when he returns, you also will be revealed with him in glory. Doesn't it say that? When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, he's revealed, right? Then you will also be revealed with him in glory. What's going to be revealed after Christ is revealed? Come on, help me. What's going to be revealed? Christ is going to be revealed, and you are also going to be revealed. What's going to be revealed of you? Come on, help me. Yeah, your life in Christ, because God made you just like him. At the end, he'll finish it. It's going to be revealed. 1 John 3:2, when I see him like he is, I'll be just like him. Do you know one day in my future, you guys might mistake me and Jesus. Of course, I'll be better looking. Just teasing. But we're all going to be in the character and nature and the image conformed to the image of Christ. God predestined it when he made it all. Romans 8:29, right? And when he's revealed, we'll be revealed. One day, I will have the complete, perfect, resurrected life. I'll be living it in eternal life with God in heaven. All of us will. Isaiah says it this way. Josh, can I have the praise team? Go ahead and come on up because I want to do the closing song. But Isaiah sees it this way. Here's how Isaiah says it. He says this, he will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproaches of his people from all the earth. Do you reproach the Lord? I do. I don't serve him all the time. I sin against God. He's going to remove it all. It says this, for the Lord has spoken. That's back in Isaiah. He's going to do that. We're going to share in his glory. We're going to share in his inheritance. We're going to live in the kingdom of God. As he lives, we will live. And we will be just like him. For when we see him like he is, that's what God's going to do. He's going to finish what he started. Philippians 1:6. That's what's going to happen. So that what Paul is doing, what he's encouraging us to do, why don't we just kind of live what God is doing embrace it. And before we sing the closing song, I have a question. Do you have this life? Is that the life you have? Do you have the Christian life? Do you have that life where you got new life in Christ, where it's not that you're going to be perfect in it, but do you have that life? You know if you have the life, right? Is Christianity something that was addition to you? You kind of added it onto this life, and you heard the gospel, you wanted heaven, and so you just said, well, I'll kind of add Christ, I'll believe in Christ, because when you trust and believe with saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of God, you've been given new life. It's identifying. It's real. It's not vague. It's not, now it's going to be different people's life, but do you have that life? Well, today is the day of salvation, always is. God offers that life. You can have that life of where you're able to seek continuously, eternal perspectives, that you're able to set your mind on things. Without it, you can't. You're just going to be self-focused, going to be battling through, wondering what's going on. Is your eternal security set? Do you know what God's going to do in the end of all of this? Do you know that God is at work getting you to where he's going? Do you know? Because if you don't know, today you can ask somebody. There's someone here, I'm here, there's other elders here, there's people around, and you can talk about it. And today may be God prompting in your heart, piercing your heart with the truth of Christ. Today may be when somebody gets a transformed life, a resurrected life, where it used to be a dead self that's resurrected to life, where they died to sin today and died to self and were given new life in Christ. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by the power of God, not my E. I can't change anybody. It's by the power of God. If God is speaking into your heart in life today, respond to God. This is what he wants for you. It has nothing to do with me. This is God.